Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to come into your presence. Thank you for the privilege to feed upon your holy written word. Your word which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among the saints. We declare that we are not just hearers of the word only, but we are doers of the word of God. The word bears much fruit in our life this morning. We thank you and we give you praise. I received utterance to deliver this message. And I pray that for everyone here and everyone listening as well, we hear accurately, and our lives are never the same after today, but we see you in your fullness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are praying. Amen. Amen. Thank God. So let's turn our Bibles. We've been studying on our covenant relationship with God, the covenant that we have with Almighty God. Do this so I can move around freely. The covenant that we have in Almighty God, you can catch up on the website, or you can catch up also in the iTunes podcast. Catch up on the messages there as well. But I'll go over what we have been studying so far, and then we'll continue with the lesson as well. So let's turn our Bible to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Hebrews 3, 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. A priest is someone who administers. It means to have charge as a chief agent and to execute or to carry into effect. This verse tells us that Jesus, we should consider him. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. You see, Abraham had a covenant with God. God came to Abraham. In the beginning, when God created man, he created him, the Bible says, in his image and in his likeness. And then Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the Bible says that in the day that they sinned, they were separated from God. God told them that in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And so when they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were separated from God. When God came to them and asked them, Adam and Eve, where are you? They were ashamed to stand in God's presence. They were ashamed to be in God's presence and were running away. And so all throughout the Old Testament, God promised that his son is coming, is coming, he's coming. And eventually the Lord Jesus Christ came. But to understand the Bible as really the way you should, you have to see it from a covenant standpoint. It is composed of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant means it was old and it was set aside. The New Covenant has not come into place. But for you to be able to see and study the Bible and understand it, you have to study and understand it from a covenant perspective. And God came to Abraham, and Abraham said, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And Abraham said, how shall I know? And in the previous lesson, we studied how the process by which God went through and made the covenant with Abraham, and how Abraham went from asking the question of how can I know to being fully persuaded that what God has said will come to pass. Abraham, they did covenants in his days. So he knew exactly when God said to him, take me, these animals, separate them apart. And God came through fire, passed through those animals. He knew exactly what that meant. And from that time onwards, if you ask Abraham what God has said, whether it will come to pass or not, he wouldn't question the will of God. He wouldn't say whether it's the will of God or no. He was so sure and fully persuaded that what God has said will come to pass. But every covenant, when they did the covenant, they made it a covenant ceremony, there was a priest there who pronounced the blessings and the curses. But in the case of Abraham, God said, I will bless you. I will make you a nation, a great nation. Abraham said, how can I know? Seeing I go childless, there is no child in sight. I'm 99 years old. My wife is 90 years old. There is no multitude of nations anywhere. Nations are not in sight. Multitudes are not in sight. But the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So Abraham was now fully persuaded that what God has said will come to pass. How many times you've prayed to God but you're not fully persuaded? But today we'll go through the scriptures to where the word of God will become an anchor for your spirit, soul, and body. That what God has said, he's able to perform and it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God. And so this scripture says, notice, consider. Consider. What are you supposed to consider? The apostle and high priest of our confession. The word confession there means for us to say the same thing. The Bible is loaded with God's promises. The Bible is loaded, is full of God's power. But it will only be real in our lives, and it will only come to pass in our lives as we consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, of us saying the same thing, of us saying what God has said in his word. And so Jesus, he says that he's a high priest. All that Jesus came to do ended at the cross, there will be no hope for us. But thank God, he is a high priest partaking in the heavenly worship. Partaking in the heavenly worship there on our behalf as high priest. What does that mean for you and I now? That means that he is alive. That means that he's still living. He's there interceding for us. He's interceding for you. He's interceding for me. The Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for us. So we have to make a conscious effort to consider him as being in the present, as being in the now, as being someone who is alive. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he's the same forever. Hallelujah. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. Very real. Very real. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Hebrews 5, verse 1. So we are looking at the high priesthood ministry of Jesus as it relates to the covenant. So important for us to understand as Christians. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weaknesses. Because of this, he is required as for the people, so for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. He's telling us exactly what Jesus Christ is doing there now. You see, if all Jesus Christ did, like I said, ended at the cross, there will be no way for the sinner to come back to God. He's ever living to make intercession for the whole world, calling them back to himself. So he's there right now at the right hand of the Father as a mediator for the sinner to come back to God. He's laying his hands and saying, "The Father, look at what I did. Look at the blood that was shed for the remission of sins." And he's ever living, ever there, offering gifts and sacrifices. He's doing that now on our behalf, on the behalf of the whole world, calling the world back to himself. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. And he's also giving us that ministry to go forth and reconcile the world to himself. But we are ambassadors in this world. He is our high priest. That is, Jesus Christ is the only way for the sinner to come back to God. For the one who has not accepted Jesus Christ to come back to God. And it is because of his ministry that he's doing today, now as mediator. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." He says, "Every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God." In the old covenant, the high priest could only go into the very presence of God, and that with great care. Every very great care, once a year. But thank God, in the new covenant, there is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a high priest. He offered his blood as a sacrifice once and for all, once and for all, once and for all, for the redemption of mankind. He's done that once, and then he's there in that capacity. So anybody that comes to God and say, "Lord Jesus, I thank you for the sacrifice that you bore for my sin. I thank you, I believe in my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And I confess it with my mouth that him as Lord." In that moment, because he's there, the person who says that is translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That is what the Bible calls saying that he becomes born again. He switches from one kingdom to the kingdom of darkness, the dominion of the devil, and now he comes into the family of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's there in that ministry, ever living to make intercession for us and for the sinner as well, and for the sinner to be able to get to Almighty God through him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A high priest. Then, you have to be conscious of the fact that he is alive. He is alive. He's not dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. The foundation of our faith and the foundation of our walk with God should be rooted groundly in the fact that this is a covenant that has been sworn in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was raised from the dead, he took his blood into the very heavenly presence of God. And the Bible says that that blood ever lives to speak. It speaks better than the blood of Abel in the old covenant. It speaks better than the covenant of the old. It is filled. And when God sees that blood, he says, "Leave that to my child. Let this person come into the kingdom of God when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, Abraham, when God did the covenant with him, from that moment, he was certain that what God has said will come to pass. And if we are going to be successful in our Christian work as well, we have to depend and rely on the integrity of the Word of God. The Word of God is what created everything that you see, everything that we see. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the Word of God in the flesh. He fulfilled and worked perfectly and pleased the Father in his earthly walk. But in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be, and it came to pass. God said, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, and it came to pass. So when God says something, it will surely come to pass. His word cannot be broken. His word cannot fail. Everlasting, the Bible says that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And we must have that word settled in our hearts as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says that let us leave the elementary principles that we... Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Let's stand there. Hebrews 6, 1. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Consider the apostle and high priest of your confession. Consider him. Consider him. He says, leaving the discussions of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or on to maturity. Let us mature. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and this will do if God permits. He's saying that as Christians, let us move higher. Let us move beyond the biblical stage of Christianity. If you read the previous verses, he talks about let us move from the biblical stage, and let us move up higher. Then he goes through all these things, and in chapter 6, verse 13, also, he talks about Abraham. He goes back to Abraham again. Hebrews 6, 13. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear, notice the word promise. Notice the word promise. Because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all dispute. Notice the word promise. Notice the word that God swore. There was nobody that God could swear who was greater. And he was saying, surely I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath or a covenant is for that a confirmation and an end of all strife or argument. Abraham, once God swore to him the covenant, he was fully persuaded. He was fully settled. Notice the statement, promise. Notice the statement, an oath. Notice the statement is an end of all dispute. To be a successful Christian, to want this Christian work successfully, when God says something to you in his word, it has to be an end of all dispute, an end of all strife, an end of all argument. If God has said it, his word is true and it will come to pass. God wanted Abraham to be doubly sure that what he has said will come to pass. So God determining to show more abundantly to the heir of promise the immutability of his counsel or the unchangeableness of what he has said. He said, He confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. By two things by which God cannot lie. First, the promise, and then also the covenant. Be aware that this book is not an ordinary book. This book is sworn in the blood of Jesus. It's backed by the throne of God. It's backed by Almighty God Himself. Two things by which it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. See, so many times lies are prevalent in the world that when sometimes people say things and they don't do it. They say they will do this and they don't do it. So sometimes when we come to the Bible, based on the environment of the lies being prevalent in the world, we can sometimes come with a mindset that this may not be true. But thanks be to God, the foundation of this universe itself is the word of God. The Bible says that He upholds all things by the power of His word. God, who cannot lie, God, who cannot lie, God will not lie to you. God will not lie to me. God, who cannot lie, has given us His promises, and He is giving us His word. And not only has He done that, He has ratified that covenant in the blood of Jesus. My Lord, I'm excited. Just thinking about it. God cannot lie. Say that to yourself. Everybody, let's say, God cannot lie. Let's say, God cannot lie. Hallelujah. God cannot lie. He is not a man. Your friend may lie to you. Your neighbor may lie to you. Somebody else may lie to you. But this morning I am telling you that God cannot lie. His word is the same. His word is the same. God willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise, the immutability, the unchangeableness of His counsel. How much more us? The Bible says that we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. God, if He sent His best Son, the Bible says that if He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him to us, how will He not, in addition to Him, freely give us all things? Hallelujah. All things. God willing more abundantly to show to us the heir of promise that His word cannot be broken, sent us His best gift, His very best, and said in addition to Him, He will freely give you all things. God willing more abundantly to show Abraham the immutability, the unchangeableness of His counsel, swore an oath or made a covenant with him. And when he made that covenant, in reality, what he was saying was, Abraham, from today, your enemies are now my enemies. I will take over your battles. I will take over your battles. I will take over. Anybody that blesses you is blessed. Anyone that curses you is cursed. I will fight your enemies for you. I give you my authority. I give you my power. I give you my all. And in turn, Abraham said, I give you my everything. And so when God came to him and said, offer to me Isaac, he wasn't even questioning anything. He had no doubt about it. In his mind, everything that was his belonged to God. And everything that was God's belonged to him. Fully persuaded. His life was now fully given over to God. Our lives should be fully given over to God. Dedicated fully to His kingdom. Dedicated to His cause in the earth. What He has belongs to me. And what I have belongs to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what Romans 8 is saying to us. We are joint heirs. Romans 8, verse 17. We have entered into a new covenant of which Jesus Christ is the high priest. He says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and join us with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Hallelujah. That is good news on any day. If you are a joint heir with somebody that has died, if you inherited, you are a joint heir, let's say a parent died, and you are a joint heir with somebody, it means you share equally what has been inherited. Inheritance. Abraham knew exactly what that meant. And here, in the new covenant, we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever he inherited, we have inherited as well as believers. You see, on the cross, Jesus Christ died. When he died, he took upon himself the sins of the whole human race. He took upon himself the sicknesses. He was made poor that we might be made rich. He took upon himself the curse. And then he was buried, and he stayed there for 3 days. But thanks be to God, the very covenant that God made with Abraham, saying that I will send my son, but he with the grave was not able to hold him down. Hell was not able to hold the Lord Jesus Christ down. On that basis of the covenant, on the third day, he rose again. He's not in the grave anymore. He's not dead. He's alive. But when he was raised up, the curse was no longer cursed. He raised up with the very life of God. And God gave him back the authority that Adam and Eve lost. And when he went up, God was pleased with the sacrifice. And that blood is ever before God, testifying for us, ever speaking. And so we have become joint heirs. He was recreated. He was no longer the one who was made a curse or sin or sicknesses. He didn't say no. He took the sin, the sicknesses of humanity upon him. The sin of the whole world was laid upon him. The judgment that Adam and Eve deserved and the whole human race deserved was placed upon him. And now he died. In our place he died. But thanks be to God, when he was resurrected, we as a human race was resurrected with him as well. And anybody that comes into the family of God, by virtue of that, we have become joint heirs with whatever the Lord Jesus Christ inherited. Hallelujah. Join us with Christ. Join us with Christ. You ought to tell that to yourself every day. Hallelujah. You are in the royal kingdom of God. You have changed camps. You are switched from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are no longer a weak worm of the dust. God has a plan for your life. God has a great plan for your life. Plans prepared in advance. Good works planned for you in way in advance. And he is ever living for you. Every day he is praying for you. Every day he says, I care about you. Hallelujah. Join us. I could stay there for a whole month on that. Join us with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are no longer part of the dominion of darkness. We have a new law, a new covenant, a covenant of love. And we're covenant of love ever ready for us. And we share with him what he purchased for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be convinced of that you are a child of God. You are in the kingdom of God. You are a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So you say, what does all this mean to me today? What does a covenant from several thousands of years ago, what does even the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to me today in my daily life, when I have to deal with life, when I have to deal with the day-to-day activities? What does it mean to me today? Let's explore that a little bit. Before that, let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and 18, talking about Abraham, how he was fully persuaded. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's called the good news. The good news. That is what we are taking to the nations of the world, to our world and to our city and everyone who will listen, that they can come and be part of this glorious kingdom. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. To all the seed. The promise to Abraham might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, or the Jews, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed God, so that he might become the father of many nations according to what was spoken. It says that it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise, what promise? Remember we read Hebrews, it says that surely I will bless you, I will multiply you, and you will be the blessing. So by virtue of us coming into the Lord Jesus Christ, we have become partakers of that blessing that was promised to Abraham as well. So through us, you may say that I'm insignificant. I don't matter. There's nothing about me. There's nothing good about me. No, that's not what God says. He's saying that if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, the word of God, the promise is as sure to you as it was to Abraham, that through you nations will be blessed. Hallelujah. Through you, your family will be blessed. Through you, your family is blessed. Through you, your co-workers will be blessed. Through you, everywhere that you are a symbol of the blessing of God upon your life. Hallelujah. But Abraham, when God told him that, there was nothing inside, but he took his new name, and for his name was changed from Abraham to Abraham. That is part of the covenant deal as well. His name was changed. Now to become the father of many nations, and God, who caused those things that be not as though they were. God is a faith God, and we are faith children of a faith God. He has said good things about your life. He has said so many good plans for your very life. And so you have to agree with him and say, Father, you have a great plan for your life. That plan that you have is exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. That plan is greater than anything. And I agree with you. I may be here today, but thanks be to God. As I follow you, the promise is sure. It's as sure as I walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you have done for my life. Every step following him. Every step obeying his word. Every step listening to him and walking in accordance with that. You get to the place. He tells you to do this, you do it. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And gradually, you come into the fullness of what he has for your life. Remember the story, this comes to me now. Remember the story of Jesus, his first miracle that he did was at a wedding. He went there and the people, oh, how Jesus, how lovely is he? The people ran out of wine. He's at a wedding and the people have run out. But the blessing was still working. And they went to Mary and said, Mary, what should we do about this situation? He said, go to him and whatever he tells you to do, do it. 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 That is how you begin to partake of the promise that he's talking about. It is of faith. What he's going to tell you to do is going to require faith. It's going to require you to believe God. It's going to require you listening to him and obey him. But be determined that whatever he tells you to do, do it. During the day, we might tell you to speak to your friend, speak a kind word, speak to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, pray for somebody. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Because when you do it, there is a miracle on the other side. Hallelujah. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. It is of faith that it might be by grace that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Hallelujah. The promise might be sure to all the seed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 emphasizes the same thing. Galatians 3, 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 3, 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He says, brethren, I speak in the manner of man, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed, notice, where the promises made, he does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is who is Christ. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, when they did the covenant, there was a priest always. Again, I grew up in Africa, so I know exactly. There's still people still make covenant there. There was a priest there who stood there and pronounced the blessing and the curses. And that was how it was done in Abraham's day. And there was curses associated with the broken law. There was curses associated with breaking God's command in the old covenant. But Christ has redeemed us, has redeemed you from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Might come upon the rest of us who are not part of the whole original deal to start with. The blessing might come upon us that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Look at the word promise again. And he's saying that the covenant was not just made to Abraham and to his seed. But he says to see it, that who is no other than Christ. So when God was making that covenant with Abraham, he was speaking as well, making that covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill that old covenant. But notice, how does that apply to you? We'll clinch it with this. Galatians, just jump to verse 29. Of the same Galatians 3. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Let me take my time. The promise was only made not to seed. It was made to one who is Christ. But if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. So the promise is just as if you were standing there. And God was saying, in you, surely I will bless you. Surely I will multiply you. Surely I have a plan for your life. I want to bless you more than you can contain. And the good news is, Jesus has taken the worst part of it. He has been made a curse for us so that we don't have to experience the curse of the broken law. We don't have to experience the curse of the broken law. That covenant is not between Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that covenant cannot be broken. You can step out of that covenant, out of fellowship with it, but that covenant is an everlasting covenant that cannot be broken. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And as according to the promise, thank God I am part of Christ. You are in the kingdom of God. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, might come upon you, that people will see you and testify that we have seen that God is with you and we want to go with you to fellowship with your God. Hallelujah. As according to the promise. Hallelujah. That is good news. John ends as the promise. What is the promise? In blessing, I will bless you. He cares for you. His eyes are upon you. And not only that, we have Jesus as the high priest at the right hand of the Father, praying for us, saying, Father, I pray for them that they will reverence and finish. They reverence me, and not only that, run the race set before them and finish their course. Hallelujah. Join heirs of the promise. The curse of the broken law, if you study it carefully in the old covenant, was spiritual death. We have been redeemed from that. Now we are brought back to God. Was sicknesses. Jesus Christ came, took the curse. He himself was made sick with our sicknesses. He himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses. The curse of the broken law was that once they stepped out of it, they walked, everything went right with them. But God said he's promised to take care of them financially, even when they come back to him. In the new covenant, he says that our God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory. So we just walk with him. We walk with him. We walk with him. I've depended on that covenant so many times. Coming to God. I remember again when our first child was born, the doctor said, we cannot have any more children. We said, no, that's not what the book says. That's not what the covenant says. He said, there will be none barren among you. It's not part of the blessing of Abraham. And so we came together, we said, no, we'll have more children. By faith, the promise is sure to us. We'll have more children. We cannot. No, that's not what the book says. And we were fully persuaded. And 6 months later, when my wife went for a test, the doctor said, you can have more children. The verdict was turned around. No matter the impossible situation that you are faced with this morning, I can tell you there is executive power. There is power in the word of God to transform any and every situation that you may be confronted with. Hallelujah. God's word, God the covenant, you can depend on it. You can trust in it. He's a faithful God. Faithful God. It is of faith that it might be by grace. God, does God still do miracles? Absolutely yes. Miracles. Miracles. As we walk in obedience to the covenant. As we walk in obedience to His word. Declare it when you get up every day. Tell yourself, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Because say that to yourself. Say that to yourself. Say that to yourself. I remember the day my wife and I discovered that, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We stayed up the whole night. We could hardly contain ourselves. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law, that the blessing might come upon us. The blessing of Abraham that distinguished him in his lifetime. And that same blessing that Jesus walked in the fullness of it. We have been Christians, and up to that point, we weren't walking in the fullness of all that God provided. But when we saw that, we started rejoicing. And every day we'll say to ourselves, thank God we are blessed. Thank God the blessing of Abraham has come upon us. Thank God the curse is no longer. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now we are joint heirs with Him. We are heirs. If we are Christ, we started saying that. We started saying that to ourselves. We have been redeemed from the curse. You have been redeemed from the curse. The blessing of Abraham has come upon us. We were Gentiles before. We qualified. That blessing has come upon us. And then we began to walk and grow. It's the same for you as well. Discover that covenant. You walk in it. You are growing. Then you begin to move on high. You begin to move on high with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. No matter what you are confronted with, fully persuaded, you are also the seed. He's talking to you personally this morning. That covenant, like we saw last week, took Mephibosheth from being in a land of forgetfulness and brought him to the king's table. Hallelujah. David, when he stood before Goliath, said, this person is uncircumcised. This person does not have a covenant. No matter what you are faced with, you can speak to that mountain and say that this is not part of the agreement. This is not part of the covenant. And then when you do that, the high priest of your confession, the high priest and the apostle of our confession, the one who sees to it that it comes to pass, will ensure that you see His goodness, His faithfulness in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What good news. Let's pray. Before we go, thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning you have heard the word of God, and for those listening as well, you have heard God's word. You say, Pastor Paul, I do not want to be in the world outside the covenant anymore and be walking without help and without being part of this covenant that you are talking about. This covenant belongs to the children of God. This good news belongs to the children of God. And you say, I want to be born again. I want to have help in this life. I want to be a trainer like you talked about. I don't want to walk in all my life. I've walked through so many beautiful things. But I want to be part of the blessing. I want to be part of the family of God. Come into the kingdom of God. And be born again. If you are like that here, I want you, and if you are listening as well, I want you to say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. I want to come into the family of God. Be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. be born again. I believe that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. And with my mouth, I confess him as Lord. And thank you that I'm saved. And maybe you are here or listening as well, and you went out of fellowship with God. And you say, I want to come back to God. I don't want to continue down the path that I'm on. I want you to pray as well. Say, Lord Jesus, I come back to you. Take me back into your house. And I will serve you all the days of my life. Now, before we go, pray as well. Pray into your week. Pray into your week. Say, tell the Lord Jesus that as you go this week, he will be more real to you than anybody else. He will be made more real to you. You will see his goodness and his mercy. Goodness and mercy will follow you. Father, I pray for everyone present here and everyone under the sound of my voice as well. Listen. In the mighty name of Jesus, may we experience your blessing in our lives. May we see your goodness in our lives this week. May we see your hand at work in our lives. As we go forth, may we carry the fragrance of heaven. May we carry forth. May people see us, your joy, and your presence on our lives, and desire that it will come with us into the house of God. May our lives be a symbol of the blessing of God. Whatever the need is, whatever the mountain is in anybody's life present here,
we trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We would love to equip you in daily life, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.